7,000 enterprise applications and IT services, 60,000 servers and containers, and the same amount of code repositories, and several hundreds of thousands open source components that we rely on in our supply chain. And for every one of these components, we need to know where it's running, how it's used, in which version, and so on, and in which context. And how are we going to do that? Well, probably with an expected amount of 500,000 SBOMs created, enriched, and analyzed per day. That's the size of the program that a few colleagues and I have been conducting for the last 2 years. Yesterday, I already gave a presentation on how we set up this program, how the strategy worked, how we did that. So I will cover only a small part of that. And today, the focus is rather on the tooling. So what are we using to scale these operations and to get to a state that is good enough for us? First of all, who of you knows, who of you doesn't know Deutsche Bahn? Okay, so I won't talk much about this. The big thing, or the important thing is here, the organization is large, it's diverse. We have 500 different professions, 220,000 employees, and so on. So, and the same size as our IT, more or less, like with the complications and also the different scenarios that we have to think about here. So I will cover a little bit about that later. But most importantly, Deutsche Bahn is not a software company. So our business is making or running trains and somewhat maintaining the railway infrastructure in Germany. Talking about IT now and the scope of this talk. If we think about transparent supply chains, we have to also think about the diverse streams of software, how software is coming into our organization. And this is building software, of course, and for the most different applications, like on many of your phones probably, but also on web servers, but also in embedded devices somewhere sitting in between stations on railway tracks or somewhere else. We also buy software, obviously, and we operate software, not only in the cloud, not only containers and servers, but also on edge devices in operational technology. And if we have the challenge that we want to know which component is used where, we have to consider all these sourcing streams. So how can we find a common language to describe the composition of our desk? I mean, we are in the SBOM dev room. It's, of course, SBOMs. But we don't see SBOM as a tool. We rather see it as a common methodology to describe software, not only to describe it, but actually to do something with it. So I won't go through all the use cases that we came up with, and this is only a subset. But this is just more than license compliance or security vulnerabilities or CRA compliance. This can also be more forward-looking. Like, how do we understand, analyze our whole supply chain? Do we invest, engage somewhere strategically, or do we de-invest from somewhere? So SBOMs must become a shared infrastructure. But again, it's not only about SBOMs. It's about also thinking in these systems in these more open methodologies. And one important part of that, which this perfectly integrates with, is VEX. Also mentioned a few times here already, the vulnerability exploitability exchange, as a great way to cope with a challenge that we will have and already have. The more transparency we get into our supply chains, the more frightening findings we will have, like especially from the security point of view. And VEX is a great opportunity for teams to not double and triple their work on describing whether they're affected or not by a certain security vulnerability that may not even be exploitable in their specific context. So SBOM, VEX, but also SBOM signing and so on are all building blocks that we are trying to get into our organization. And you can imagine, given from the size that we have, that this is not an easy task. So yesterday, I talked a bit more on how we set this up and which principles. I will not go into detail, but I would just like to highlight one or two points here, because we as a small group that started this, we set up a few principles. And one of the most important principles was to not talk in tools, but in capabilities. So once we started to leave out the exact tool names that we had or tools that were on the market and started rather thinking in systems, the whole picture became much clearer and we could also think big. On the other hand, on the technical side, we said, well, we have to consider all the different sourcing scenarios. We cannot only look for built SBOMs or for pipelines. We have to think about something that works for every workflow, and there are many workflows within our company. So what was really helpful for us is our mental model of an SBOM lifecycle. And this is the simplified result. So you will see on the left the different sourcing streams of SBOMs, really showing where do SBOMs come from the most diverse systems, from the most diverse subsidiaries that we have within our company, and other ways like vendors and so on. And the idea is that these SBOMs enriched on a, I would say, baseline quality are then from decentralized sourcing coming into a central SBOM database, the SBOM inventory, how we call it. And this is very important here. We cannot live in a world where we have multiple SBOM storages. We need to know in one place with one query what we are using where and how. And given the centralized nature of the SBOM storage, we can also enrich it with further information that cannot be described in the SBOM itself, like in which IT, enterprise, architecture, application is the SBOM actually used? Who is responsible for its content? Who do I have to call out at night from their well-deserved sleep if something goes really wrong? Like, what's the team responsible for it? But then on the other hand, if I look at the analysis then of the SBOMs, this again is decentralized. We are not having a single UI to put in all the dashboards and so on. So you can imagine this SBOM inventory is like a database with quite performant APIs. This is the simplified version that I'm just showing. This is the more complex thing, showing the streams of SBOMs and VEX information going through our organization and systems. Again, this isn't tools. I mean, you could also write some tools here, but in the end, it's systems. You don't have to take a picture of that. These slides, I think, are already uploaded, and you will find that. So how do we translate all of this into reality? It's clear that this cannot happen overnight. So we need to have this step by step. And our strategy here was to first focus on SBOM adoption rather than SBOM quality. So we wanted to know fast which software, what software components we are using where. So we looked for low-hanging fruit, we looked for also priorities, for instance, set by the Cyber Resilience Act, and started with getting SBOMs for all source repositories and for all pipelines where the developers onboarded this. And in the course of this year, we will add the SBOMs from runtime, so from our service, physical and cloud service, and the containers, so 60,000 roughly. And also following up from operational technology. I mentioned that earlier. You can imagine, as an infrastructure owner, we have a lot of OT that is running, has been running since decades, and is probably still running for decades. But we still need to know what IT is running there. Now let's get into tools and more concrete. We looked at this overarching architecture before. So what we came up with, or what the idea was, is that we also create SBOMs that fulfill a certain degree of baseline quality. And this baseline quality has to be good enough to be working for our use cases, so they aren't perfect. So we came up with a default modular tool chain, you would call it, like a default process that developers can just plug into their pipelines, for instance, or that is automatically running. And the steps are similar to what Victor mentioned earlier. Like, we come from a generation of SBOMs over an enrichment of SBOMs, for instance, regarding license compliance or licensing information, to an analysis of SBOM regarding security, but also regarding license compliance. So, for instance, checking it against licensing policies that we have internally based on a usage scenario, but also for creating, for instance, copyright notices based on that. On the horizontal, you see like that we have internal and external information in systems. So from internally, of course, we need to have some context information. But I go through step by step. So how do we generate the SBOM? Let's talk in tools now. Our default toolchain, and this is important, this is like the default, this is modular, like developers can choose something else if they think that is better for their ecosystem. We generate an SBOM currently using SIFT because they do a really good job in integrating with various ecosystems, yeah, and doing some post-processing. Then the refinement of the SBOM, especially from the licensing point of view, there we rely on clearly defined. That's a great project, also been mentioned a few times here already. It's basically a database of already scanned packages using scan code. Right? So we do not have to rescan all these packages with scan code looking for copyright and licensing information, because given our size of the supply chain, that would literally burn the planet. Then for the analysis of the regarding the security, we are using CRIPE, also from Ancore, and connecting this with our REX information. To be honest, this isn't perfect yet, so CRIPE, and we are also contributing it to make CRIPE work better with REX information, but yeah, this works pretty good. And for instance, that already had a really good effect. I can say that when we had the React to Shell vulnerability a few weeks, months ago, we were able to identify the affected products within our companies 12 hours before our proprietary, very expensive security scanners that we had elsewhere. So this is doing a great job. It's not perfect, but it's well good enough in order to respond to such things. To check against the licensing policies, we are currently using Grant, also from Ancore. Also not perfect, but we are also contributing to it and working together with Ancore. And regarding the copyright notices, or how we call it, like compliance artifacts generation, again, clearly find us a great candidate for doing so. We are not calling here the public API, by the way, but having set up an internal clearly defined instance. Okay. That, again, was the simplified version. Now comes the complex one. Again, look at the slides. But this is really, again, it's talking in tools, of course, but it's more or less systems and workflows. Like, how do certain steps have to integrate with each other? How are the flows of REX and SBOM information? Which systems internally and externally are affected, basically, or need to be included? And what do we have to still work on in order to get this whole picture working for all our engineers? I said this tool suite, how we call it, it's modular. And the idea was to have a really good adoption from our developers. So this default toolchain, it's working in pipelines. We have internally a product called PipeShift, created by a great team by us, coming up with a GitLab templates for their CI. And there's just a one-liner that adds all of this magic, or many of these magic steps, creating the SBOM, enriching it, and storing it into our central SBOM inventory. And it just needs, I don't know, two or three variables for configuration. But it's also important to note that not all products within our company and our organization are using pipelines. Yeah, there are good reasons to not do that, or where it's not possible. So the idea here is that it's also available as binaries, as homebrew packages, and we have a homebrew tab for that, by mise-en-tab and mise-en-place and other functionality. So developers can basically integrate it in all their workflows that they have. For instance, also on an SBOM that has been delivered by a vendor and they want to increase the quality because they do not directly have a leverage to do so. Now we have a okay-ish good SBOM. It can become better and we're working on that. But what to do with it? Right, we said it's going into our central SBOM database. But how do I look into it? And this is where the compliance suite comes into play here. The compliance suite is an internal service that we have. It's like web UI, but also with an API. And that helps teams with understanding their assets better, so, and their compliance status. Compliance can not only be security findings, but also other things that we have internally. But it has a direct connection to the SBOM inventory. It helps developers and teams, but also service owners, to understand their assets better. So it can work on single repositories, on GitLab groups, but also on assets that can span multiple groups and multiple repositories. So this is a great way. This service also crawls through all our GitLab repositories, for instance, and accepts the SBOMs that are either coming from itself or fetched or sent to by pipeline integrations and other steps. And technically, this is a plug-in to Backstage. Does anyone of you know Backstage, by the way? A few hands, 30%, great. So we are also working well together. I can only recommend it. We're using it internally as a developer portal, so teams can do much more with it, like setting up new repositories and whole projects quite quickly. Regarding SBOMs, I mentioned already this compliance suite can interact directly with the SBOM inventory. It's basically more or less the same database or close to it. So the developers can directly see the SBOMs that they send to it. They can also manually upload it if they, for instance, get it from a manufacturer. And they can also inspect the quality. They can re-upload or download the SBOM. So that works quite nicely. Based on these SBOMs, we mentioned it before, there are also findings. We have security findings, of course, like from the scribe scanner running constantly on all the SBOMs, finding on an up-to-date security or vulnerability database whether there are findings. And for the licensing, the same applies. So we have license checks integrated. And so developers can see what's the status, whether it complies with my own licensing policy or with the company's default, depending on the usage scenario of the project or the product or whatever. The idea here is that we have it machine readable and come close to an automated compliance. So not only throw warnings at developers, but also prioritize these warnings. And that works quite well already. Technically, I think the last slide on the compliance suite, how it's working from the architectural side, I mentioned already. The compliance suite itself, it's a plugin for Backstage that is doing much more than just these compliance things. The compliance suite instead has this runner or the service that crawls through GitLab and also our Azure DevOps. And on the deployment side, how this is deployed, of course, Kubernetes and with a big support of Crossplane. And so these are really important open source projects that we rely on and also contribute to. Now we have all these SBOMs and findings. What do we do with that? And here I would like to showcase one of these use cases that we have if we have aggregated information over our supply chains. And this shows just two stats of the many that we can generate. First is front-end frameworks. So we can quickly see overall what at Deutsche Bahn are we using as front-end networks. What are the rising stars? Where are the technologies that might be hidden champions? Do we, for instance, want to strategically use only one or two frameworks instead of a whole mix of it? Or are we using front ends or frameworks or also programming languages that we actually do not want to use anymore because they're deprecated or so? And so this way, having this aggregated information in a very federated organization, we can make better decisions. So SBOMs are not only good for security, compliance, and so on, but also for forward-thinking investments into ecosystems and the understanding. I would like to show, I know we are running out of time, a few stats that I just compiled a few days ago, very roughly. I ran through over 80,000 SBOMs, basically a snapshot of a second. 80,000 is the current size. We are having more SBOMs coming in basically every second that replace old SBOMs. And interesting numbers here. I mean, I found that we are using more than 100,000 open source components. So without versions, if we add versions and architectures, this would be tripled, or a factor of five, I think. So this is great insight that we have. And the question is, how do we actually act on these stats in the end? And the important part here is it's people. So we have to take people with us, not only developers, not only operators, but also those who are responsible for security, like governance owners. So make it easy for them, integrate into their workflows, consider their different ways how software is developed and operated. That's very important. And surely governance owners and those who run these projects like I do are an important part, but we have to take people with us and developers. So concluding, SBOMs are not a product, they're a methodology. And therefore it can only be implemented incrementally It has to be pleasant for the users, and it has to be modular. We cannot expect a single tool to solve all our issues. So internalize this knowledge into your organizations. Do not externalize it. Do not rely on single manufacturers for that. And let's collaborate not only on the tools, but also on how we set this up within our organizations and communities. So thank you very much for the attention.
Thank you very much, Max.